That's great, Dan. That's great. Okay. All right. Well, let's jump into scripture here. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're in week 2 of our series here called It Takes Two, Thriving Biblical Relationships. And no, not every church does a relationship series in February because it's Valentine's Day, but we are this time. We are this year. We're going to be that. But we've been talking about whether you're singled, widowed, divorced, or married, you're in a relationship somehow. And you're going to know someone that's either going through one of these phases. Someone that's either getting married or coming out of that, either being widowed or someone that had been divorced or someone that's never gotten married and now they're thinking about that. And so we interact with people in all four of these streams, these four areas. And last week, if you remember the four points, we talked about these four quick things, just a review, that God knows it takes two. Marriage is perfectly created by God. When we abandon our roles and relationships, we suffer. And the last one, there's always redemption by God. And if you remember last week, we talked about these four areas and how does that play out in marriage specifically. And we said that God wants your marriages to thrive. He wants you to thrive in every relationship you're in. It doesn't mean life will always be easy or you're never going to have to fight or have a discussion or have one of those hard talks with someone. But it means that God wants your relationship to move from point A to point B, then to point C, and to grow and mature and to know Him. And our question we ended last week was this: are you and your spouse willing to follow His commands and put Him at the center of your relationship? It takes two. It's more than just about you and your spouse. It's you and God. It has to be the foundation, the initial building block of that relationship. And so this week, we're going to be talking about singleness. All right? So I'll talk about singles. And so here's a few stats I want to start out with. And it's a little small, and I'll read some. So it's kind of hard to see, but a few stats here. 50% of all meals are eaten alone here in America. More than 50% of all meals are eaten at a table for one in the United States. And this is between married and single adults. Over here on the right side, singles now outnumber married adults over the age of 16. In America, this is the Bureau of Labor 2014 stat, there's 124 million single adults in America. And so that was 2014. We can only assume that's increased. Your bottom left down here, 51% represents the number of adults not married in the U.S. between ages 18 and 34. This is up nearly 30% since 1978, and this is from the Bureau of Labor and Statistics 2018. So 51% represents the number of adults not married in the U.S. And then over here, 23% of churchgoers are single. And then it says less than a quarter of your church is single, but your community is over 40% single. And this is coming from Barna Research, a recent trend from then. So there's a lot of people that are single in our community, in our churches. And as a church, we can't ignore that. We can't ignore that. And all the single people said, yes, thank you. Don't always preach about the married people, all right? They're not perfect. Yes, we know. But singleness is something unique, and we're going to be talking about that today. But that's something to think about. There's a lot of single people in our communities. And then secondly is this. Americans are now less likely to be married and more likely to live alone. This is coming from the Census Bureau of America. In 1961, you can see that 74% of households were married. And then those living alone, 3.9% were self-identifying as living alone. 2021, 47% of households are married. And now 11.1% are living alone. Now, if you remember last week, the statistics, when you look at the marriage, let's just say that 47%, out of that, almost 70% of that is more evangelicals or those that claim to have some faith in Christ are still getting married. And so what are we seeing in the culture, which you probably all know, is that less and less people are getting married and they're just living together. And then some people are saying, oh, forget marriage altogether. I'm just going to live my own life, me, take care of me, myself, and I, and forget about this. And so singleness is something that's in our country, in our communities, in our church, and we can't avoid that. And so with that, let's dive into scripture here. In 1 Corinthians, it's going to be, here's the references. It won't be on your screen, so pull out your Bible app or your scriptures, and read along here with me here. I'm going to read out of the ESV, and this is our scripture for the day. This is where we're going to be starting at. And so let's read here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 6. Now remember, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And remember, he is answering questions to the church at Corinth that we don't have. We don't have the list of questions they asked Paul. This is Paul's response to them, so keep that in mind. He says, "Now as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish that all of you were as I myself am. But each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single, as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion." Then turn over to verse 17 with me. We're going to be reading a little longer portion of Scripture here. Let's look at verse 17. The Apostle Paul goes on through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to write this. He says, "Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commands of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity." Just a side note right here. When someone said that the church never advocated to freeing the slaves, the scripture debunks that right here, okay? Oh. And there's many other scriptures that talk about where Paul talks about, hey, whether you were slave or free, we are all slaves to Christ. So if you're a free man, you're not really free if you're going to put your faith in Christ. So anyhow, sometimes people like to use that in scripture, out in the culture against the church. So just a side note, don't let them use that against you. Remember verse 22. "For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when he was called is now a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, let him therefore remain with God." Verse 25, "Now concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who, by the Lord's mercy, is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if you are a betrothed woman, marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you from that." Thank you, Paul. Whew, man, Paul's got some wisdom here. Hey, hashtag marriage is still a blessing. Marriage is still a blessing. "This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning. And those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods. And those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, for the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about the worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, his passions are strong, and it has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry. It is no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity, but having his desire under control, and has determined this in his heart to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So then, he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. Jump down to verse 40. Yet in my judgment, she is happier if she remains as she is, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God. Let's pray, church, and ask God to illuminate his word to us. Father, we come before you, and we just ask in these next few moments just to illuminate your word. God, we say thank you for marriage. Thank you, God, for being single. God, thank you for having relationship with you alone, Jesus. You're the one that never leaves us or forsake us. And God, even whether we're in marriage or not, God, we are in relationship with you, and we say thank you. And that you walk this earth with us, Jesus. And we just pray in these next few moments, God, open your word. God, teach us, correct us, strengthen us, encourage us, God, that you care about relationships. And it's in your strong and mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, wow, that's a pretty interesting passage, isn't it? Woohoo! Oh, boy. And everybody's probably wondering, where's Pastor Dan going with this one today? Oh, boy. All right, so let's dive into here. First is this, singleness is not going away in our culture. As we can see by our stats, singleness is not dying out. Singleness has always been part of the world, it's part of the ebb and flow of relationships. Singleness is not bad. If you thought I was going to say marriage is the best and you single people, you're horrible. No, you're below us. No. Singleness is not bad. Many men and women of God throughout the ages were used in God's redemptive story to change the world. How many of you have read a story about a missionary that was single that went off and, man, served people, and a whole nation came to know Jesus? Jesus himself was single. Many of the prophets and many of the disciples were single, and God used them to do mighty exploits and to move the ball forward so that the whole world, all the nations, would know that Jesus is the Lord, God Almighty. So the single people, you're not left out of this redemption story, right? Sometimes the church, we can elevate, sometimes we'll elevate married and say, well, that's the pinnacle of relationships. Well, it's a good thing, but also being single is actually, it's actually on the same plane. And we're going to talk about this today and look at how Paul was not elevating or saying one's better. Even though he uses the word better, we're going to break some of this down. It's not necessarily one's better than the other. It's in what assignment God has called you to right now in the season of your life. Our culture tells us two things about singleness. Ready? First is this. Seeking sexual or material pleasure will fulfill the so-called emptiness of singleness. And secondly, that if you're single, man, you're free. Whew, you dodged the bullet. You don't have to be responsible for anybody. You can go live your life, spend the money however you want. You can travel the world. You can do whatever you want. Our world tells us, gives us those two things. If you look far enough and read culture, it gives us those two options. This is what it is. But I would submit to you today that those are both a lie from Satan to distort God who created relationships, who created marriage and created singleness. He alone created both those. Not the enemy, not America, not the world, not pop culture. Jesus, the second triune, the part of the Trinity, they created that. And so we want to make sure that today we know what's the right view about singleness. And here's my thought for us today is this. Singleness is a gift. Don't squander it. Singleness is a gift. Don't squander it. I've seen too many married people squander that and too many single people squander that. Both were looking at the other grass. Oh, it's got to be greener on the other side. And both of them missed the calling where God had signed them to right now for this season in your life. Singleness is a gift. Do not squander it. If you're single in here today, you have a gift and a calling on your life. Just like those that are married have a calling on their life as well. But don't squander that. I hope today that you're going to see this. Here's two verses. They'll be on your screen. The first is this, 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And then Romans 12:6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. And so if singleness is a gift, don't squander it. I want to ask you this. If you're single in this room here today, am I using my singleness in proportion to my faith that I have in God? Because look at Romans 12:6. It says that having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. God has given you singleness as a gift. If we had hours to dive into Scripture, we could look at how whatever we've been given is a gift from God ultimately and His grace in our life. So if you find yourself single right now, we're not going to talk about all maybe the circumstances of why you're single or how you've got to this point, but if you're single right now, that is a gift. And it's a gift whether you're 75, 65, 42, 35, 19, 14. If you're single, that's a gift. And you need to ask yourself today, I want to challenge you. Ask yourself, am I using my singleness in proportion to my faith that God's given me? Are you sitting around being, well, I'm just single. Well, my life stinks. And come to Cross Point every week, but boy, my life still stinks. Or are you saying, God, I'm single. Now what do you want to do? God, hey, I'll give you my whole life. God, I'm not necessarily tied down at the moment, but God, what do you want to do? How do you want to use me to spread your word, to be a witness of your mightiness in Siouxland? See, there's a big difference. And that's what Paul talks about here. So let's dive in here. Look at verse 7 here. We're going to be going through some of these verses here. Look at chapter 7, verse 7. He says, I wish that all of you were as myself, but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. Now, Paul, as I said, Paul was answering questions that the Corinthians asked. We don't have that list. We don't know what were they asking. I mean, were the men complaining, saying, hey, Paul, they're like, man, do I got to stay married? Were the single ladies saying, hey, is he going to put a ring on it? I mean, we've been waiting. Commit to it, the joker. Commit to it. All right? We don't know what the questions were asked. But Paul here starts off and says that each has a gift. And church, we must, if you're in here and if you're married in here, you must see the single people in our community, in our church, as a gift. Not, well, I know why he can't get married, or I know why she can't get married. You know, no, we need to say, man, that's a gift God's given them. And the single people in here, You don't need to look at the married people and be like, well, boy, they got lucky. They won the lottery. I can't find a mate. Man, I just, you look at some of you, you're like, why can't I be married? You need to say, man, God bless them. You've given them a gift that's different than my gift. Church, we have been comparing too long. We've been pitting marriage against singleness. When they're each a gift by God, you didn't, Scripture says, men in here, if you have a good wife, that wasn't because you were Mr. Suave and you were so smart, buddy. God said, I'm going to bless you, buddy. All right, I'm going to bless you in this one. Wives, your husbands, all right, you weren't that smart. You are pretty smart, wives in here. And all the men said yes. But God saw that, wives, you needed this dude in your life. And he said, I'm going to bless you, sweetheart. And he gave you your husbands. All right? Everything that we have, just like the spiritual gifts in Scripture, we did not earn or deserve. And we cannot demand, God, give me a spouse. Or God, I'm going to stay single and don't bring someone else. God says, hey, I do as I jolly well please. And I give to what I to whom I desire. So this, Paul starts off with that. Each singleness or marriage is a gift to us. And so if it's a gift from God, wherever you're at, take a deep breath and be like, whoo. Well, if God gives good gifts, and if you desire to be married, then he'll bring that good gift in your life at his right time and appointed time. And if you're married, stay married. Love your spouse. Stay with it. Commit to it. And realize that God's giving you a gift to steward right now in them. Now, in the first century here, writers would contrast two things. And as we just heard, Paul contrasts married and singleness. But in the ancient times, when the writers, the Greeks and the Romans and the Hebrews, when they would write stuff, they would contrast two things. And sometimes in this scripture portion, we look at this and we say, well, Paul says that being single is better, or you would do good to stay single. And so that must mean, and sometimes in our Western rhetoric, logical minds, we think, well, Paul means single is better. That's better. Well, it's not what they would do. And part of it is, as we talked about over the time here, we talk about when we read scripture, we got to know the context. How was it written? This was real literature in a certain time period. And what did that mean? And Paul here, in the ancient, what Paul is doing, he would contrast two things, not to demean one another, but to show a difference and to highlight the differences in the attributes of each one. It wasn't necessarily hierarchical. It was just showing the difference. Just like we talked about last week, men and women have different roles in marriage. Men aren't above and squashing the women, nor the women are above squashing the men and ruling and dominating them. But they're the same, but God gives men and women different roles within the marriage and within the home. And so it's a difference. So have that in mind here. Paul makes his case here that marriage is not better than singleness, and singleness is not better than marriage. It's pretty plain and simple here from verse 7. Both perspectives of marriage and single add to the kingdom. Out of the kingdom. How many of you have been thankful for a married couple in your life? Would you raise your hand? How many of you are thankful for a single person in your life? Raise your hand. Come on, yeah. Yeah. Yep. So we can't say that marriage is it or single is it. We need the combination of God's gifts to his body to mature us, as it says in Ephesians, to mature us into the head, that Jesus is the head, to mature us into one body. So single people, you need married people in your life. Married people, you need some singles in your life. So go out and befriend them here, even here in our church. Look at verses 8 and 9 here. It says, to the unmarried and to the widows I say that it is good for them to remain single, as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. First of all, this is not a put-down. This is not a put-down. Paul's not like, first century burn on Facebook, and oh, gotcha, you know. He's saying that sexual intercourse and sexuality in a marriage is as holy and right. But he goes, if you can't control that, he goes, get married. It's not a concession saying, oh, sexual intimacy, that's just that dirty thing you say for marriage. So if you just can't control it, just get married. And, he's contrasting that, hey, some people have the gift of self-control, the gift of singleness. That's something they can control and handle. Some people, it's hard to control that area. And if you've been married, you know that, right? When you're dating and you're engaged, you're like, woo! You're like, oh, boy, come on, marriage day, get here, you know? But that's what Paul's going to highlight, that that's not wrong. It's just you got to know yourself and know how God has made you and wired you. Now, remember here, Paul says that it is good for them to remain single. Paul didn't say it is the only way, they must. He's just saying it's good. He's saying, you know what, you have the option. You've got to seek the Spirit. You've got to understand what God as a Father wants for you in here. He's not making a decree on high here. Jump down to verse 17 here in chapter 7. Look at verse 17 here. He writes, he says, only let each person lead the life, that the Lord has assigned him to and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches here. This verse is used where we talk about in kingdom, we talk about vocational calling. How many of you heard a message from your pastor about vocational calling? What are you called to? What's God calling you to? This is where this idea and phrase comes from. And look at the words here. The word called here is the Greek word kaleo, and it just means a life calling or life vocation. Whatever you're doing is something that the Lord has assigned to you. And some scripture says assigned here or apportioned to. That word assigned is the Greek word merizo, and it just means to deal out or to appropriate or to assign to someone. And so what Paul is reading here, in midst of this scripture here, he's talking about everything between marriage and singleness. And Paul is reminding the church that some of you have been called to singleness. Some of you have been called to marriage. And that is from God the Father. He's assigning you to that. And he's saying, if you've been assigned this in your life, he says, walk in that calling. Run with that calling. Don't hang your head and be like, oh, married people, don't be like, oh, I wish I was free again. Didn't have all those responsibilities. Single people, don't be like, oh, I wish I was married. Oh, it's so better over there. God has called you and you and you to your specific task right now. He's called you to that. Rest in that. Say, thank you, God. Go before him and say, God, now what do you want to do? Married people, ask God, God, now what do you want to do in our lives? Single people, God, what do you want to, now what do you want to do in my life now? No matter if you find yourself single because of widowed or divorce, doesn't matter. Or if you've never even been married. Ask yourself if you're single in here, God, what do you want to do now? God, am I leading a life that is honoring you in my singleness? Not always begrudging it and just getting through life and thinking, oh, everything looks so good on Facebook or Instagram. Oh, man. I mean, that Pastor Dan, he must have the best marriage, so happy. There's some hard days, right? Everybody, right? Right? There's some days, if we all be honest, there's days and days. Yes, boy, it would be nice to be single again, right? However, the Lord has not assigned me to that, just like he's not assigned you to the opposite side of the tracks where you're at right now. God's asking you and you and you and you to be faithful in where he's assigned you to. And Paul's reminding them, whether you want to get married, do that. Honor God. If you want to be single and you don't want to get married, honor God in that. Thumbs up to both sides. But ask him to lead you in the life that he's assigned you to. Let's keep diving through here, through some of these scriptures here. He goes on in verses 18 through 20. He talks about, hey, you know, what were you before marriage or after marriage or before Jesus and after Jesus? He says, whatever you are, it doesn't matter. Look at verse 19. He goes, for neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. So whether you're married, whether you're single, whatever you find, Paul's saying, man, none of that matters. Squash that. He's saying, does your heart and mind, is it faithful to the one and true God? Are you following his precepts? All right? Sometimes I've seen it where single people act like, oh, I'm all holy because I'm single. But boy, they're living like hell Monday through Saturday. And then we've had married people, oh, we're married, so we're the anointed of God. But boy, they're living like hell the rest of the week. So Paul's saying none of that matters. Whether you're single or married, none of that matters. It matters is your heart and mind aligned to God the Father, and are you following him there? And then in verse 21, okay, let's look through here. Verses 21 and 22 and 23, Paul talks about, were you free when you became a son of the king? Well, now you're a slave to the king. Were you a bondservant? Well, once you met Jesus, you're free now. But you still got to serve him. You got to follow his commands. Paul goes on to, once again, just to propose, he once again to highlight, saying, whatever camp you're in, it does not matter. We are all obedient to Jesus. And he's highlighting all this about marriage and singleness, saying, it doesn't matter wherever you find yourself in. He goes, whatever side you're in, he goes, all of it must be submitted to the lordship of Jesus. So, single people, your life's not easier. Married people, your life's not easier. All people have to submit to Jesus and follow him. And that's what Paul is highlighting here. He's saying, hey, whether you're single, that's great. Follow him. Paul's like, I'm single. And Paul did amazing things. But what do we know from the Apostle Paul's testimony? What did he say? I will follow Christ. I'm a slave to Christ. I'm in chains for the gospel. Paul was a free man. He wasn't married. I mean, Paul could have been a scholar. He could have been living large in charge of a synagogue and been rich and famous and wrote scrolls and everybody come worship him. But Paul said, yeah, I'm free, but I'm a slave to Christ. And I will be obedient because I've been redeemed and renewed. And so single people in here today, yeah, you're free. You may not have some of the restraints that I have or some of the time constraints, but you are a bondservant of Jesus. Some translations say a slave. It means the same thing, pretty much that you are indebted to the master, and now you must work for the master, not out of begrudgingness or out of a heavy heart, but because out of freedom. Man, we've been set free, so God, I'm going to follow you. And let's jump down to verse 38 here as we get ready to close here. In verse 38, he says, "So then who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better." Now, this verse can be used a lot of times out of context, and you could throw it both ways. But here's really what he's saying. If we look, once again, if we take Scripture in the light of context of what it was written, if we read it with longevity, look at the entire chapter 7, it's just Paul is saying this. He's saying singles, if you stay single, there's benefits and there's negatives. If you get married, there's benefits and there's negatives. Now, everybody hear my heart, right? Marriage is not a negative, but you, everybody, if you've been married, you all understand this. Everybody understands. Paul's just saying, hey, if you remain single, hey, that's good. You're doing better in the sense you're following what God has assigned you, the calling he's put on your life. So don't worry about marriage. Just follow God with all your heart. That's what he's trying to talk here, trying to communicate here. But sometimes this has been used to say that, oh, single people are somehow more holy or can hear God more. And that's not what he's saying. He's just not saying that. In verses 32 through 35, he talks about, hey, those that are married are worried about pleasing their spouse. Those that are unmarried have more time to be undistracted to the Lord's plans in their life. And there is some truth in that, right? If we were honest in here, for single people, you know, a lot of times it's easier to follow what God's put in your life. If God says, hey, go do this, you can go do that. Married people, right, you got to go talk to your spouse. Hey, sweetheart, I feel like God's saying we need to do this or give this or go serve in this ministry, right? Or, man, you've got five kids. You've got kids and you've got jobs. There's more moving parts you have to manage. Now, when Paul talks about this, he's not saying if you're married, you can't please the Lord. He's not saying that here. He's just saying you have other things to consider. And Paul is reminding the single people, he's saying, hey, since you don't have those other things to consider, doesn't mean you're better. He's saying you better focus all of your attention on Jesus and listen to what he wants to do in your life. He can use you at a quicker speed. It's like this analogy. You ever heard this analogy, right? A battleship takes a long time to turn. But a little 14-foot little John boat, boy, you can turn on a dime. Right, if something happens, you can just really turn and get in and go in and out. Sometimes marriage is like a battleship. Man, it's solid. It's a fortress in the kingdom, right? It can be a great display of God's covenant between us and him and display God's love for his people, the mystery as Paul talks about. But sometimes in marriage, if you want to do something new, right, sometimes it takes a time to swing that battleship around and get in a new direction. But if you're single, boy, boo, the Holy Spirit says, good news, boy, you can go right there. The Holy Spirit says, hey, give to that person, boom, you can give. You don't have to ask anybody else because you know, right? But it doesn't mean that's better. It just means they're different things. And so in chapter 7 here, Paul's just highlighting these different things. Now in verse 40 here, Paul says this. It's a funny quip. He says, yet in my judgment, she is happier if she remains as he is. Oh boy. But he says, and I too think that I have the Spirit of God. Paul goes on in a couple other epistles. He highlights that some people thought since he was single that he wasn't as holy as maybe some of the married disciples. Like we know Peter was married. Some people thought, well, if you were married and following Jesus, then you must have more influence. There's a disease in the church that thinks that if your pastor's married, that somehow that's a higher calling or anointing. If you're a single pastor, ooh, there might be something wrong with that person. Like if they're following Jesus and being a pastor, why aren't they married? You know, if everybody thought that, if we were honest, there's plenty of pastors and churches that won't hire a pastor if they're not married. They think, well, you know, and then everybody has the right to hire and fire about that. But sometimes we've elevated that a real godly pastor is married. But Paul is not saying this here. He's not saying that at all. Paul is saying that, hey, I'm an apostle of the King and I'm single and I too can hear God and I too can walk in the Spirit of God and know his ways. And I want to remind us here, whether you're married or you're single, everyone here equally can hear the Spirit of God in their life, can hear the Holy Spirit direct them and guide them. Just because you're married doesn't mean you have some new level of insight to God. Now, you may be able to understand what it means to sacrifice more and to give more to someone else, right? When you're single, it's harder to give selfishly or understand what it means to sacrifice. But not always. But sometimes that's the difference in marriage and singleness. You work through those. But Paul is reminding the church here that he too is single and powerful in Christ because God has assigned him to be in singleness. And I'm going to remind you here today, if you're single, God has assigned you to that, and you too can walk as a mighty son or daughter of the King and do mighty exploits for him in your singleness. You can do that. And that's what chapter 7 is kind of highlighting in this. And so look here at verse 35 here. Verse 35, it says, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. I want to end on this here. Paul, once again, Paul's not pitting singleness against marriage. Look at the words. The words mean what they say here in Scripture. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you. For too long, sometimes this chapter has been used and abused with against married or against single people. Paul said it in his own words. He's saying, hey, if you want to get married, get married. If you want to stay single, get single. And he's just saying, I want to clarify. Hey, this is not a restraint. This is not to burden you down or make some type of legalistic form. We need to kill legalism in the church and taking everything and making it what we think. Scripture says what it says. Paul's saying, hey, I'm not putting restraint on you. You're free to do what you want either way. But I'm saying this so that there's good order in the church. We know that our God is not a God of chaos, right? Paul, he doesn't want people getting married today, then getting divorced, and then being single, getting remarried, then divorcing that, and all that, and just getting this chaos. He's saying if you're going to be married, get married and commit to that. Put a ring on it. Commit to it. Stay with it. Honor it. He said if you're single, commit to that. Be all in for Jesus. Jesus, I'm all in. I'm devoted to the King of Kings. That's what he's reminding the church here. And he's saying, because he wants to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. So once again, doesn't matter if you're single or you're married, I'm asking us today in our relationship series, is your heart undivided to the Lord? Ask yourself, church, maybe today you need to go home and search your heart. Is your heart undivided to the Lord? Doesn't matter if you're single. Doesn't matter if you're married. Paul said, it doesn't matter. You have to be devoted to the Lord. And so that's what he's highlighting this entire chapter. If I can reiterate enough, it's devotion to Jesus above all things. And so if you're single or if you're widowed, you're still in a relationship. It's Jesus plus you. Some of you here, you might be single and you might want to be married one day, married a man. That's great. That's an honorable thing. Ask God. God, mold me, grow me, make me ready for that time when you assign that to me. But if not, single people, you're in a relationship. You're not single as the world defines single. You got Jesus, the King of Kings, man, the lover of my soul. He's right there inside of you. You're not by yourself ever. God the Father always had a plan so that we would never be alone. We would never be alone. You never walk alone. Now, I will say this. Some of you here in this room are widowed. Some of you have been single and never married. Some of you have been married and you're divorced and you're single now. I don't know what that's like, and so I can't speak from that. But you're not alone, and God can still use you. He has a calling on your life. If your heart is undivided to him, he can use you mightily. And who knows what the next season is. Right now you're single. Walk in that season. Embrace it. Smell the roses. Roll around on the grass of that season. Enjoy it. Do whatever he's calling you to do. Enjoy it for him. But then if he calls you into the next season of marriage, don't be like, oh, no, I don't want to get married, God. That's the horrible, evil thing. No. Say, open hands. God, what do you want me to do now? What do you call me to do? Let me seek your face. God the Father knew it takes two. And I want to remind us of this, whether you're married or single. Joshua 1:5. Remember, the Lord said, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. A spouse leaves you, Jesus is still with you. You get a spouse, Jesus is still with you. Now there's three there, and Jesus is still the head of that relationship. Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes a marriage can feel alone, right? If you're married here, there's times it can feel alone by yourself. You and your spouse aren't together, not connecting, right? But you're not alone in that. So here's my takeaways. Singleness is a gift. Don't squander it. And if you're here, I want to say to all the single people here today, I got to stop. That song keeps going through my head. I don't want to say all the single ladies because that's bad, yes, but all the single people in here, right? God has given you a great gift, and everyone should say amen to that one. Use it to honor him. Amen. You are not less than, nor have you sinned, and God is not punishing you if you're single right now. You're not under God's wrath. God has handpicked you to steward this gift of singleness. He's handpicked you, just like he's handpicked me and some of us to be married. Steward that gift well in your life. He is calling you on an adventure of being dedicated to his plans. Now, it doesn't mean, hear me out, married people, if you're married, God is still calling you. But I hope you hear the spirit of what Paul's saying. If you're single, there are some unfriended ties you have. So praise God for that. There's things right now, Ginger knows my heart, there's some things I would go right now. If I was single, I would go dedicate my life to some godly mission things and going. But it's not that this is a bad calling or my wife or my children or you. I love being here. You guys are awesome. I love being your pastor. But you understand? You understand the singleness. You have a gift. Don't squander it for the kingdom. Don't squander it. Don't sit back and be like, well, I'm just going to sit here every week. Do something. Teddy Roosevelt said, I have a poster in my office. He says, get up, get action. Do something sane. Don't fritter away your time. And your singleness, don't squander that. And lastly, if you are single and desire to get married, honor God in that gift too. Plain and simple. We don't need to make Scripture so hard or so convoluted. Scripture means what it says. And Paul here gave us a very clear admonition and a calling. Singleness is wonderful. And it is awesome to be single. It is awesome. I'll use that terminology. All right? So if you're single here today, go out encouraging the Lord that He has assigned you a special place in His kingdom. That right now you are to use that to advance the good news of Jesus. And so pray that God would use you. Pray that your heart would be open. Pray that your mind would be open to receive His callings and His commands. Be very quick. I encourage you, if you're single in here, be very quick to follow those commands in your life. When Jesus speaks to you and gives you that prompting of the Spirit, follow it. Because you never know what's around the door. You never know what He wants to unlock on that next step of obedience. All right? Don't just sit there and think, well, this is my life and my lot. No, just say, what now, God? What's next? What's next in my life that you want to do? So let's pray here, all right?